Okay. Attention. Attention. Pope John the First is the new Pope of the Church of Rome. Virtual dictator over 700 million population. Though 580 to 530, varying on different world estimates, are all that are left active in the Roman Catholic Church because of Pope Paul's strong denunciation of any form of birth control. The new vicar of Christ, set in the seat of St. Peter, is Pope John Paul, 65-year-old, moderate, said Voice of America, little experience in administration. His father is a socialist worker, or was one, but he himself is a strong anti-communist. In his capacities, he is an Italian, in the tradition of the church, always biased in favor of electing Italians. He tells the people, before he became the Pope of the entire Roman Catholic Church, never to vote for the Italian Communist Party. So we seem to have politics in a church that is much larger than most nations, half as large as the People's Republic of China, twice as large as the Soviet Union. Pope John I says the first duty is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get souls saved. Sometimes it seems hard to imagine that we have come such a short way in such a long, long time. Begin, Prime Minister of Zionist Israel, plans to resubmit a peace plan. It is thought that there will be still little compromise. The aggressive regime of Zionist Israel has refused in times past to give up the territory of the Gaza Strip that it conquered from Egypt and West Bank from the Arab state of Jordan, and South Lebanon that it still holds under a puppet regime of fascist Christian militiamen. Iran has a new prime minister. The government of Iran is being shaken. The Shah was forced to put in a new prime minister because there are riots, rebellions in every city in Iran against the oppressive regime of the government of the Shah of Iran. New prime minister promises to restore peace, but the cities of Iran are still plagued with strife. Prime Minister Wah is concluding his 9-day visit to Yugoslavia. Prime Minister Wah of China. Salyut 6 space mission between East Germany and USSR will make up the new team as further advances are being made by the Soviet Union and her friends or allies in the development of a space station and total exploration of the world and ocean, the earth and ocean surface of the world. Pakistan. Former Prime Minister tried to crush Mr. Bhutto, accused of fraudulent elections. Rhodesian raids are being conducted against the Patriotic Liberation Front. BBC says it's only a matter of a short time before there will be all-out war unless something is done to allow the Patriotic Front to be involved. The foreign minister is one of the few capitalists. Foreign Minister Owens that insist for Mr. Horn of Britain that the Patriotic Front must be involved in the government of Zimbabwe, what the white man calls Rhodesia. For a moment, I think I shall take a break to deal with some of the things that are brought to my attention. I deal always, read every note that you bring to me from any department. This one gives me a little bit of concern, and so I'm going to read it aloud and let the farm analyst deal with it first before the People's Council.
Dad, excuse me.
I will continue with the news before I discuss the matter of poultry, because we openly air all matters of problems for community discussion, and the entire community decides on all issues, great or small. We have total democracy. Everyone participates in a total democracy here. The Political Prisoners is an expose of hypocrisy, says Sweden. The Voice of Sweden, a social democracy, neutral, not involved in the Warsaw Pact of the Soviet Union, nor the NATO alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Sweden has been a political neutral for several wars. It was not involved in World War II. Its commentary. Political prisoners. What political prisoners? That was the enraged reaction of leading U.S. government figures and politicians to the candid acknowledgement by the black United Nations ambassador from the United States, Andrew Young, that in our U.S. prisons as well, there are hundreds, even thousands of people whom I would call political prisoners. Young's remarks, made in an interview with a Paris newspaper, Le Matin, have evoked a storm of condemnation from the political representatives of U.S. monopoly capital. Those holier-than-thou propaganda concerning the trials in the Soviet Union of several well-known people that USA have chosen to call dissidents, some which our Swedish investigations have proven to be agents for the Central Intelligence Agency, was thus exposed for the exercise in hypocrisy that it is in the United States. President Carter and the State Department were quick to disown Young's comments. Senate Majority Leader Robert C. Byrd, Democrat, West Virginia, once a member of the Ku Klux Klan that hated all Indians, blacks, Catholics, Jews, was only one of many congressional leaders who denounced the United Nations Ambassador, Black Ambassador Andrew Young. Representative Larry McDonald, Democrat, Georgia, a practical neo-fascist and member of the John Birch Society, introduced an impeachment resolution which managed to garner a quick 82 votes in the House of Representatives in 2 days, charging that Young has undercut the entire foreign policy of the United States of America. The anguish in the ruling class is understandable in USA. William Raspberry, a black columnist for the Washington Post, posed the question succinctly and accurately. Did the United Nations ambassador lie? He asked in his column. Or was his sin merely that he told an embarrassing truth at a particularly awkward time? Raspberry's further remarks are worth citing. The Reverend Ben Chavis of Wilmington 10 fame sits in a North Carolina prison, convicted of charges that grow out of his civil rights activism. One of the leading witnesses against Anatoly Sharansky was Sonia Limpovsky, a physician, a medical doctor, who turns out to have been both an informer for the KGB and a volunteer for the CIA. The principal witness against the Wilmington 10 was a slow-witted teenager named Alan Ray Hall. Sharansky, you know, was called a dissident, but they found out that the witness against Sharansky was a CIA informer. The principal witness against the Wilmington 10 was a slow-witted teenager named Alan Ray Hall, now 23, who subsequently recounted his testimony, said he lied, as did all other witnesses. But while the Carter administration is outraged at the prospective injustice against Sharansky, said Swedish columnist, it has been sweetly discreet about the palpable injustice to Chavis and others. His silence on Chavis and the Wilmington 10 had been ascribed to the fact that as president, he cannot interfere in a North Carolina trial. But one would suppose, said the Swedish newspapers, that an American president would have at least as much influence on the North Carolina system as on the Soviet system, in which he tries to impose illegally his wishes. No political prisoners in the United States is the question. Have the outraged politicos never heard of Lolita Lebron, Oscar Collazo, Rafael Cancel Miranda, and Irvin Flores, the four Puerto Rican political prisoners who have been in jail in U.S. for over a quarter of a century because of their struggle for their own nation's independence, said the Swedish commentary? Are they not aware of the hundreds and thousands of blacks, Chicanos, Indians, Native Americans, and others who are at this moment rotting in U.S. jails and prisons because they dared to stand up and fight for their rights, said the Swedish commentary? And in their passion for the Soviet dissidents, have they no interest in Ronald L. Humphrey and David Truong, the two people just convicted on framed-up spy charges with virtually the same kind of evidence, even less than that produced against Sharansky? Do these politicians need a lesson in recent history? How many tens of thousands have been thrown into U.S. jails and prisons for their political beliefs, from leaders of the Socialist and Communist Party in the 1950s, and those who refused to answer congressional witch hunters in defense of the First Amendment freedoms to anti-war protesters of the Vietnam era? And how many other political protesters were executed without trial, such as Fred Hampton, shot down in cold blood by the Chicago police, and the students at Kent University, shot down in cold blood by a force of the U.S. National Guard, and the same with the black students shot down at Jackson State, Mississippi, by the Army, shot down in cold blood in the United States. No, it just won't wash, Representative Perrin Mitchell, Democrat, Maryland, chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, noted. If you go into any poor or black neighborhood in this country and ask if there are political prisoners in the United States of America, the people will all tell you yes unanimously. We make no brief, said the Swedish commentary, for the way in which the Soviet Union conducted their trials, the semi-secret proceedings, the dubious testimony, the denial of all of the courtroom rights, and the readily apparent fact that the individuals involved were being tried for their political beliefs, at least in some cases, seem reminiscent of those negative features of Soviet society during Joseph Stalin's rule that still stands as somewhat of a blot against what were also the very real and healthy accomplishments of socialism in the Soviet Union at this time. But we sharply oppose those on the left who would make of Sharansky, Alexander Ginsberg, noted CIA connections, and most of these other so-called dissidents, political heroes. By and large, they are a reactionary lot, all fascists that are being tried in the Soviet Union. The only criticism that their leading light Alexander Solzhenitsyn can make of U.S. imperialism, that it isn't anti-communist enough, and that it has lost its will to fight after having shamelessly surrendered in Vietnam. Solzhenitsyn, however, was permitted to immigrate from the Soviet Union, now to throw long jail sentences at others whose political stands, while mistaken, are not nearly as reprehensible, and to do so on the basis of far-fetched charges of espionage seems not to be in the best interest of the Soviet legal system. The trial reflects a larger problem of Soviet life. Sweden is, of course, a social democracy, not pro-Soviet and not pro-USA. More pro-USA, really, than pro-Soviet, because social democracy is still a form of capitalism. And that is the lack of genuine socialist democracy, says Sweden, in the USSR, even though there is great improvement, is one of the chief political props supporting the revisionist group that holds state power. Internationally, the violations of socialist democracy practiced by the Soviet state serve to discredit the real political essence of the great accomplishments of their working class in the Soviet Union, as witness the justifications for abandoning the proletarian dictatorship or the proletarian leadership by the various Euro-communist parties. The aspect of the Soviet trials cannot be ignored simply because the United States is using them to promote anti-communism and make itself look good at Moscow's expense, because there's far more freedom in the Soviet Union, said the Swedish commentary, than there is in the United States of America. At the same time, socialists would be making a serious error if they did not direct their main attack on the U.S. bourgeoisie propaganda apparatus, whose last concern is democracy or human rights. The tragedy is that the Soviet government has made their job a little easier on them, even though some of the Soviet dissidents have questionable CIA connections. Thus is the ending of the commentary. Now I shall go into a matter of local concern which can be taken up by the analyst and the people. I do not add my thought to the issue, the rightness or the wrongness of it. I just tell what is said. Speaking to the farm manager, you said you're tired of me talking about those chickens, but I will talk all the louder. The first complaint I would like to bring to the attention of this body is a matter concerning 500 pullets. We were to buy these four-month-old chickens from Georgetown at a cost of $1.85 per chick. By the way, I gave approval to the farm manager to do so. Whether the breakdown is here or in Georgetown remains for the people to investigate. A price we could never match if we were to raise them ourselves, and we are short of eggs, with so many children that we're adopting, and so many of our beautiful Guyanese neighbors that we're taking in. We're taking in a Guyanese baby today. In trying to decide whether to fly them out, which I feel is what we should have done, and I told the farm manager that or ship them by the Kujo, our small boat, and going through various decision-making bodies, we screwed around until the chicks were sold to someone else. I think it is a shame that when the office tries so hard to ensure that we eat properly, that he should meet with so much resistance from administrative people that a bargain for a necessity would go down the drain. Last week the toddlers only got one egg each. Perhaps you all don't have children or don't have as much concern, but these children are our future, and if we're not building this community for them, then I feel like we are on the wrong track. I hope the persons responsible feel plenty of guilt for depriving our children and the medical patients that need eggs in their diet. Our chickens presently are laying only approximately 85 eggs a day and decreasing rapidly because they are aging. 200 a day are needed for the babies and medical needs. Besides the bungling of not getting the pullets, I only found out because I went to the radio room and asked about them myself. It's my opinion that the farm manager and the farm manager's assistant are responsible for follow-through on such matters. If they cannot follow through without someone going back to see if they followed through, then I feel that they're the wrong people for the job. Again, I am not in any way giving judgment on the rightness or the wrongness. I want you to know that in every department, in every field of this entire project, I read every note, scrap of paper, or long dissertation as this is, so that I do know what's going on. At least 2 months ago, we put an emergency order for heat lamp bulbs. Nothing has come of it. I guess I have to go to the radio room myself again. If that's the case, then I feel the assistant farm manager can be freed to go back into production. The farm manager is good where he is because some people need to be pushed to do their work. The farm manager is plenty good at that. The last 700 chicks shared one heat lamp bulb amongst them. They are supposed to have one for every 200. Thus, there was less than one-third the heat that the chicks should have had. That's great that the chicks made it at all this time, but there would have been a lot of fingers pointing at the head of the chicken department in the livestock division if anything happened to those chicks. Next, I would like to discuss inspectors. A couple of times a week, we're visited by Jim Morrell, Jose, and Jan Wilsey. To me, it's just a social visit. They are not doing their job at all. First off, I feel I should get a copy of their report so I can make necessary improvement. I thought their purpose was to point out faults or shortcomings in production as they see them so they can be corrected for the people of the Jonestown community. Now, this is an indictment of my own department, but about 3 days ago, I stayed to show Jerome how to clean a building, said Rob Gig. The manure must have been nearly a quarter of an inch, the chicken manure, thick on the walls. You know, that took a lot of time, a long time, to build up. I wonder what do the inspectors look at when they are here, because obviously they were not looking at the chicanery in the livestock department. If they are not going to do their job properly, then they can go back into production too. Nick's complaint goes to the sanitation department, basically for the same thing. Marie hasn't been down for a couple of weeks, and when she does come down, there are no reports given to us. We are the ones that have to make the improvements, so why are we not given a report? Also, the fly traps that the office provided always need servicing. I'll bet it was never reported by sanitation that we have a large pile of manure sitting in our drive for nearly a week because we could not get it moved. That brings me to another point. From now on, I will put all compost in the pit myself. I'm not going to schedule my work around any other departments. Too many times we're having piles of manure left sitting in the driveway, so from this time on, if any crew wants manure compost, they know where the pit is. Next point is the well. How many times we were told, we've got the pump, it'll be here next trip. We waited too long and it got sold, as always. That means every day we'll have to schedule a tractor for a half day every day just to supply water for the livestock complex. I don't understand why we've always got to be so slow that we create hardships for ourselves. Now there's no pump in the city of Georgetown or Guyana, and we're going to have to wait for one stateside or elsewhere. Again, I feel that the farm manager and his assistant should have hounded the radio people to death in order that they had it taken care of before the dry season. The piggery in the livestock division is completely out of molasses. I know they've been trying for a long time to get it out here. It looks to me like with all the administrative people, someone ought to be able to get some results from Georgetown. One last point is that I don't think there has been a single crew that could compare with the production results of the old cassava crew when I used to supervise it, said Rob Gigg. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I am saying the crews are hostile because they don't see their supervisors doing any work. We are so bogged down with administrative trivia, it's a wonder that crews do anything at all. It's good a few people have sense enough to see the jobs need doing, regardless of the bullcrap that goes on. I'm sure there are complaints about my crew and all, but I still contend that no other supervisor was able to get the results I got in the cassava crew. I did not spend my time every day in the agriculture office. I made it my practice to be the hardest worker on the crew. I made sure I outworked everybody. That eliminated one big complaint. I think supervisors have created paperwork just so they don't have to be in the sun and rain. Funny, maybe I'm wrong. But the people I see in the analyst office all the time never have been noted for being willing to get really funky dirty, except for maybe a couple. Most I'm referring to have always liked those clean jobs, like Harold. Some of this I do not agree with. Some of it I feel I must say there must be some merit to these complaints, and I want the analyst and the people to deal with it with deep concern. Like Harold, you always had too much paperwork to do that you couldn't get out of the office until we got a brand spanking new truck. I think he was assigned to that truck more than him choosing it. If I noticed it, how many field workers do you think noticed it? I tell you, I wouldn't even attended those meetings. I wouldn't even have attended those meetings, but I feel somebody needs to come that doesn't choose to be a part of administrative bureaucracy, which indeed, if it exists, I want abolished, because in a cooperative, there is no room for bureaucracy, paperwork that is not essential. Somebody that can see through people's games. Thank you, sincerely, Comrade Rob Gigg. Continuing with the news. Firemen have walked off the job in Anderson, Indiana. Faced with court suits, it matters not. They have taken off their work. And the city of Anderson is plagued with dangers if they have fires. Third day of strike against Canadian Airlines. In spite of court injunction, the workers will not go back to work. Postal strike is due to begin sometime today. John Paul I, anti-communist former cardinal, wins on the second ballot. the CETA program that provides a few jobs that minorities have in the United States is going to be attempted to be continued at least temporarily by special funds from the executive branch, the president's office in USA. Vice President Mondale greeted 2,000 Hispanic Americans in Rio Grande after they have protested endlessly for jobs. He came to give them a public service job. Funeral services for actor Charles Boyer, top Warner Brothers star. He died just 1 week to the day after his wife of 25 years passed away. Passengers and crew could not discover who gave the 19-page document to the TWA flight that was held up as a hijacking. Someone gave a 19-page document to a stewardess, then they discarded their mustache, wig, and spectacles in the airplane toilet, and they got away safely. They do not know yet whether there were serious intentions of hijacking or whether they gave them up. Anyway, they got away safely. 16 Tiger Jet fighters...